Welcome to Metal Waveform.
Hey, and welcome with another episode of Metal Brain Fart with me, Darum Metal, and on the other line is my good fella, Groot Thunderhead. How's it going, man?
Yeah, I'm doing fine. How are you?
Well,
it's been a while.
Yeah, I'm doing great, man. I have some personal news, you know that already, so yeah.
Yeah, you have something. I mean,
we are not going to discuss this because, yeah, it's a little bit.
Here's personal. The thing: this is like the first episode in like 4 weeks or something.
Yeah,
and, I guess some people might. I mean, those who care about content being out, all the time or whatever. I don't know. Might be wondering why we haven't really been doing shit. And the thing is. For me, at least, and I think it's true for you as well, we have been having a lot of stuff going on in our personal life. It's not like, when you say that stuff, people are like, oh my God, are you suicidal? Mm. But that's totally opposite of that.
Don't worry, we all going to die, but in that case, it's like you say, it's opposite, it's good stuff.
We're not fucking depressed. That's not the deal. It's just that, for me, I'm comfortable with saying what I've been up to. And the thing is, I've gotten a job.
Yeah, and I
proper
got
a job.
And I got a girlfriend. Hooray, really.
Yeah,
it's been a while. So, yeah. And also, we was a little bit dry of idea. Anyway, today as well, we don't have any fucking idea what we're going to speak. Eventually, we're going to talk some shit. But we're going to see how our ADHD train going to wreck us. So
for a show that is called Metal Brain Fart, we do a lot of like fucking sensible and researched, subjects.
You do it, not me.
Yeah, well, come on, dude. I mean, remember the Steve Grimmett episode?
You
did research and I didn't.
Yeah, just
you were like pissed off at me, like, hey, dude, I thought you were going to do some research. I'm like, nah, dude.
Yeah,
I'm done with research.
It's been since we started this show program on very, very interesting subjects. I'm joking. We never have a serious subject. Oh, okay, we have serious subject, but it's not very great show program anyway. And anyway, nobody listens, so fuck it. You've done most of the time the researches, and I'm just shooting in the top of my head. And that was the one of the rare time I'm doing some researches. The other researches that I did done was you remember this aftermath of Metal Brain Fart Live. Then when we done Fire and Ice episode, then I just make researches by searching in my CD what have like with a fire or ice or whatever bullshit.
Well, I mean, you have a library of a ton of metal stuff in your apartment. So, I guess it's a shame not to use it. But yeah,
because nowadays it's very easy just to click on the mouse button, type Metal Archives, and then just fire lyric content. Okay, here you are.
Fuck, I don't even remember that episode where
we were so hangover,
about
man.
Songs that had like fire and ice in the title, or
yeah, something like this shit. Because I don't remember as well. We was totally fucked from the last night.
I'm going to do a nice segue, by the way, Fire and Ice. That is a song by Running Wild from their album Blaze and Stone, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And my pick of the week, surprise, surprise, is Blaze and Stone by Running Wild.
All right, so you're going with the oldie but goldie. That's cool, man.
Yeah, here's the thing, though. It wasn't always a goldie for me. The thing is, I've been listening a lot to Running Wild for the recent time for no apparent reason whatsoever.
You're listening to Running Wild because you're listening to Running Wild, man. I mean, that's your favorite band. I mean, you're
it is
in
my
the
It is my favorite band, but here's the thing, though. Blaze and Stone, it didn't, you know, impress me before. You know, I was way more into other albums or songs or whatever, but this album was kind of overlooked by me.
Mm-hmm.
And I got back into it, and I'm like, what the fuck? I kind of, you know, disregarded a gem in a way.
Yeah, but you know, sometimes when a band have so huge catalog, it's very easy to overlook some of the albums, because Running Wild have like 20 albums, I don't know how much.
Like 15. But yeah, it's the same situation with Iron Maiden, because that's the same thing as well, because, you know, pretty much all the Iron Maiden albums are excellent, and it's sort of like that kind of a situation where there's so much good shit that you kind of forget.
Yeah,
you know?
And also with so much music coming nowadays, it's very, even if band have just one album and it's so fucking great, you were listening this album for 2 months in a row, and at one point with so much music that is coming nowadays, after these 2 months that you are listening, you was like, I need to listen something else, and you are not touching this album for like 2 or 3 years. So
yeah, that is, you know, here's the thing. The older I've gotten, you know, I'm not as adventurous when it comes to finding out new music, because
Same here.
I sort of feel like I've already found everything I need, because, you know, going back to this Blaze and Stone album, it's like, it's sort of like a new experience, you know what I mean?
Yeah, man. You know, nowadays you're more searching for deep cuts in the band that you're familiar with.
And the thing is, I listen to a lot of music at work, because my work is very, how should I say, boring is not the right word, but, you know, it's very basic, you know.
Yeah.
It's a lot of, you know, same kind of things over and over, so music is perfect to listen to, and you begin to listen to the songs in a different way, and you pay attention to the instrumentation, the, you know, the production quality, and, you know, all the notes that are played, and you get like a new perspective. I mean, this is why I love my new job, by the way, is because music sounds better.
Yeah.
In a way.
And I still hate my old job.
Yeah.
But that's, I guess, whatever. Well, my pick of the week, since we start already with a pick of the week, is... by the way, sorry that I interrupt you. Did you have more to say about Blaze and Stone? Or?
I can say this. It's an excellent album in their discography. And I don't really think people disagree with that, because it has a fairly high rating. I think on the archives it has like 90%.
Yeah, and... yeah, and even, you know, there is so much influence in this album. Man, Blaze and Stone, the band, it came from this.
Yeah, that is true. And do you know another funny thing about Blaze and Stone, by the way, the album, is that there are 10 songs on it, and none of those songs, you know, are about pirates.
Oh, okay.
So... I mean, that's if you disregard like the first two albums, it's like the only album that doesn't have anything to do with pirates in their discography, which is interesting coming from a band that has been known for being like a pirate metal band, even though, you know, they aren't, you know, pirate metal. That is sort of, you know, I think about like Ailstorm and like Swashbuckle. I don't know, man.
All that pirate metal, pizza trash and whatever, for me, it's like, okay. I mean, it's a heavy metal, it's trash metal, but yeah, I get it. Pizza trash, that is like more crossover edge and pirate metal, like you say. Running Wild, that's supposed to be the godfather of the pirate metal, Ailstorm. Also, in the art case, you have Viking metal, like Battery, that is the godfather of the Viking metal, and black metal. And as well, some other bands like Mohamart and Unleashed, that Unleashed make Mohamart look like Teletubbies, in my opinion, but hey.
I like Unleashed. It's probably one of the few death metal bands I can stand, because... It's not really that much of a death metal band, I think. They're pretty melodic. Yeah. I mean, they're actually playing good music, so I mean,
well, they're not so brutal like Cannibal Corpse, or on the other side is like the gore grind, porn grind, and whatever grind that is like pig squeal.
So, yeah, that is fucking shit. Like deathcore, that's like a, that's probably one of the most awful, you know,
except
subgenres.
You know, except old school hardcore like Agnostic Front, Madball, and
Black
whatever.
Flag.
Yeah, and whatever. Everything that have core in the name is fucked.
Yeah, well, I think hardcore is, you know, yeah, it's like you said. There's a few. A lot of good bands in the hardcore scene, and there was actually a pretty large hardcore scene in Sweden as well. Here in Sweden, we call it Kängpunk, which basically translates to like boot punk, like a boot. I don't know, it's weird.
And in Bulgaria, we also have a huge hardcore scene. And I just want to say, in this point, I want to disagree with the Heavy Metal Hangover, because they they're from New York, this area that is basically the birthplace of the hardcore, and
from fucking New York,
and they say at one point one of the host say, because the R is not so much into a hardcore, say, nowadays hardcore is like the new name of emo music. You remember that was like a huge thing back in 2010, something like this shit.
Oh, fuck yeah, yeah, the late aughts.
Yeah, and all that screamo bullshit, and old school hardcore bands, like I mentioned before, Metal, Madball, H2O, Agnostic Front, and whatever, they said it's metalcore or whatever, and I'm totally disagree with that.
Did they call Agnostic Front metalcore?
Yeah.
That is...
And I'm... That's the only thing I'm totally disagree with those guys.
I mean, metalcore... For me, at least, it's like bands like Trivium and, I mean, early Trivium. They actually somewhat became a metal band later on.
Oh,
Trivium and
like
Bullet for My Valentine. That is like peak metal for me.
Exactly.
And I'm going to say something controversial here. I don't think Bullet for My Valentine is that bad.
Well, different people, different taste.
Yeah, well, I get why people hate it. Absolutely. It's sort of like, you know, I get why people hate Nickelback as well. But, you know... I don't find them too offensive, those two bands. So,
well,
what do you know?
But let's get back into a pick of the week, man.
What's your pick of the week?
This time I'm with a new music, and it's from a friend of mine, JB, that is vocal and bass of Desolator as well. And we played this band before. It's Wolf Cross. With their first full-length album from the North. It's contain 10 songs, 50 minutes, very good black metal. When I say black metal, I mean the good stuff, not like Mayhem. Yeah, kill me. I don't like Mayhem.
Fuck it. Mayhem is pretty shitty, actually. I mean,
I always say, the only interesting thing about Mayhem is the story behind, but that's it.
Here's the thing with Mayhem, they were doing it before everyone else. And then people, you know, they sort of picked up the torch and, you know, made it better, right?
I mean, they was a little bit late because, or basically officially they are the one of the first because it was like proto black metal, like Celtic Frost, Venom, if you want to include in that, because... In my opinion, Venom is still speed metal, and also Battery, the first couple of batteries.
I think Battery was, you know, the thing is, Battery was black metal more than Venom and I don't know if I dare say that Celtic Frost isn't black metal.
In that case, it's better to say Hellhammer, because they became Celtic Frost later and they changed a little bit to thrash, black thrash with a little bit punkish style. But Hellhammer.
They were part of this early 80s weird fucking era where all of the extreme genres were one of the same, if you know what I'm
saying.
Yeah,
it was so blended. But also,
it's some people actually call old school Running Wild black metal as well, because mostly because of their satanic imagery.
Dude, that's the first time when I hear that, to be honest.
Yeah, but it is true. It is true. I mean, some people Hallow the Hell and all that old school demo shit, they call that black metal, but there's a lot of controversy to that claim, because I mean, it's not black metal at all. I mean,
in my opinion, they're in that strange line between power and heavy.
Yeah, I mean, if we talk about early Running Wild, Victim of State's Power, Gates of Purgatory, that is just speed metal.
Yeah, they have speed metal elements.
It's just speed metal. But the early demos and shit, I don't know. I think they, the shitty quality might bring that. But I don't know. To be honest, early Running Wild is just an eviler version of Judas Priest, really. It's not black metal. Whatever. We're getting away from the Wolf Cross. Is it a new album or?
It came out basically in the beginning of the month. It's came out at November 4th. This year, 2022.
Oh. And shit, we're already in November.
Yeah, man. It's already half of November. And next week, that's 26th of November, Saturday, they're going to play at Stockholm. And this time, I'm not going to be at the club. So, yeah.
Wow. Why?
Because I'm going to go to Wolf Cross. They're not playing in our club. They're playing in our club.
They're playing in a shitty club.
Yeah.
That is not Fredagsmangel.
Exactly.
Follow Club Fredagsmangel at facebook.com. People out there.
Yeah, but check Club Fredagsmangel, not Fredagsmangel. But so that's my pick of the week, man. Really nice. It's like
Wolf Cross. Before we end this segment, the bass player. Right? Is he this big muscly dude?
Yeah, exactly.
With the beard and the long. Yeah, I know him too. We actually met at a festival, We met at the Sweden Rock Festival in 2017.
I don't know, man. I know him from 2015, probably. I don't remember.
Oh, you know him longer than I have.
Yeah, because like I told you, I am a huge fan of his other band. That is called Desolator, and they have four albums, I think. Just second to.
Was he in Desolator?
Yeah, he's the one because Desolator is three vocals. He's vocal and bass there as well, with Stefan Nordström on guitar, Joachim on guitar and vocal. Stefan is vocal and guitar. Joachim is vocal and guitar, and Victor is drums, but. Most of the, most from this later I know just Stefan and Jonas.
Okay.
And like I said, they have
Jonas is a nice guy. He is a really nice guy.
Actually, they have two full-length albums. The second one came out 2020 and the first one came out 2013. It's a great band. Check it out. It's death metal. It's not black metal. And Wolf Cross is a black metal, but in the vein of Kvaen Battery, but in this type of transition of Battery, that is between black metal and Viking, and it's really good.
Blood, Fire, Death kind of.
Yeah, something like this. Yeah. And also have a little bit of Immortal, I can say. It's not, like I say, it's not like Mayhem 1346 or whatever was this band, or Take or whatever. So check it out, Wolf Cross from the North. It's a new album, support the band. You can find them pretty easy in YouTube and on the Facebook, whatever. So that's my pick of the week.
Spotify as well, I guess.
But, yeah. And I like I said before, we played Wolf Cross with their song Wolf Cross that came out on Storm of Black Salvation, that is compilation from 2019. So yeah,
they still do compilations.
Yeah, because they have like a couple. It's called compilation, but for me it's basically an album. Because before that they have one demo at 15 with five songs. And Storm of Black Salvation compilation, that is called, because the demo is as well the same name. They have 10 songs. One is a cover of Hades Battery.
Mm-hmm.
So, for me, basically, that's an album. Probably they didn't want to put a demo or a EP or whatever, because it's not EP. And obviously, it's not the great sounding shit to call an album, but for me, it's an album. And
awesome.
So yeah, check it from the north once again.
All right.
What we gonna talk about tonight?
I don't know really. we actually made good content out of talking, out of sort of like making the bit pick of the week bit longer, I guess. But I don't know. Has anything interesting happened in the metal world? Well, here's the thing. I'm back to where I was when we started doing this show. Besides listening to a lot of Running Wild, I haven't really been into too much metal.
There is some stuff that happened in the metal scene, and I have some food for thoughts.
Ooh, do you have some controversies, my good sir?
No. I mean, what the fuck is going out in this fucked up world? Because bands like Megadeth, that is a part of the Big Four and whatever, is supporting band like Five Finger Death Punch or something like this shit. And what was called Obituary is supporting some other shitty band like Heaven Shall Burn.
Wait a minute. Is our Obituary?
Yeah.
Supporting.
Yeah.
What band did you say?
Heaven Shall Burn, I think. And they have a gig at Stockholm.
That is, they're opening up for Heaven Shall Burn.
Yeah.
That is fucking awful.
Yeah, man, and that's why that's why I was like, what the fuck is happened, man? We are living in a fucked up, fucked up world, and thanks to this as well, like I mentioned before, I think to try to go in the stand-up comedy and have some routine about this. And it's obviously it's for the people that is born before 2000 that lived in the 90s and 80s. So yeah, not everyone like, gonna get it.
The two of us, I guess. Well, I lived through the late 90s. I was born in the 90s.
Yeah, but you get what I mean, because
yeah, exactly.
Because you're not a snowflake, you know.
Yeah, we're the same generation, basically.
Yeah,
I think you're the same age as my big sister.
88.
You were born in 89, right?
88.
88.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're older, you're even older than my sister. My God.
Yeah, man, I'm old as fuck.
Because that's the thing. When I talk to my sister, you know, about the culture or whatever.
Yeah.
We have, you know, even though she's 4 years older than me, we still are basically on the same page.
Yeah.
Because we like somewhat like the same stuff, you know,
and also earlier I mentioned that Unleashed made Amomar look like a Teletubbies, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Amomar is a great band, but once again, I see a legendary band that is older than a Muammar doing that for ages is opening for a Muammar obituary and carcass.
Do you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of, like, you know, Spinal Tap, you know, where they're playing, like, at a, I don't know, at a theme park or something, and they're like, yeah, I told them to put Spinal Tap over Hand Puppet Theater or whatever.
Yeah.
That's
exactly
what it feels like.
Exactly. So that's why I was thinking about this overcoming band that overtook the other bands, like the new bands overtook the legendary band or older band that have more experience and whatever, because it's not the first time, man. It's happened in the 80s as well.
Yeah, well, I can imagine. Well, I'm not too familiar with you know, the only reference I have is like Iron Maiden, you know, because I have somewhat of a, you know, an idea of, because I've seen which band opened for them, you know, on tours or whatever. And they would always pick like smaller bands. They would never like pick, for what I know, at least, I don't think they picked like bigger. I mean, they didn't have like Judas Priest as an opening act. You know what I'm saying? They always like picked. I know in 84 when they toured the World Slavery Tour, they did like a, I mean, it was called a co-headline with Motley Crue in America, but, you know, let's get real here. Maiden was the bigger band, and Motley Crue was just, you know.
And that remind me of about one other sentence again from they call it heavy metal hangover quote some other guy, and that was like the quote was something in this line. When Maiden play with a couple of bands, everyone came to see one band, and it's not your band, it's Maiden. So Maiden is a special case, man. I mean,
that was the case. You know, back in 1980, when they just released their first album, they toured together with Kiss.
Yeah.
On their Unmasked tour, and the thing was, a lot of people just came out for Maiden.
Yeah,
you know, they came for Maiden, and then they like went home afterwards. They were like, "Yeah, fuck Kiss," you know. I've had my fill of metal for tonight. You know?
So. But the other example is Metallica, man, because they start to support band for bands like Raven, Venom, and Ozzy and whatever, and nowadays bands like Raven and Venom are opening for Metallica, because Metallica nowadays is the biggest band in the world.
Yeah, well, that is, you know, what's the phrase here, like money talks, you know.
If, yeah,
the band is bigger, it doesn't, that is the, you know, the nature of this industry, is that, you know, it doesn't matter how much time you put in, how much you've sacrificed of yourself to become what you are today, you know, everything that matters is, you know, money.
Yeah, but also
the bigger band gets the bigger name, you know, that is how it is.
Yeah, but also nowadays not, but during the 80s there were like Road Dogs, man, and that's one of the things. If you're working hard for with a band and whatever, you can get your name higher up in the bills, not way down, you know. Like for example, when Sodom started, Uncle Tom was working in the mining, and at one point he was just, fuck it, I'm just gonna quit and start with the music. Everyone was like, are you fucking lose your mind? And now probably they are not the biggest band in the world. They are not Metallica, Maiden and whatever, but they are still huge band. Gonna pack up a huge arena or a stadium? Nah, But at least they.
But here's the thing, though. Did he go back to the coal mine again?
Exactly. Because, that was nah. They have enough for a living, and yeah, probably 2020, 2021. Everyone knows what happened. It sucks a little bit.
It feels like if a band were around in the '80s, they can like today support themselves on their music. But you know, I think bands later on, like you know, modern bands, they you know they have to like make a living. You know?
Yeah, and no.
I mean, every band you see. I mean, I think I talk about a lot about like recent bands. You know, like newer bands.
Nervosa Crypto, for example.
You know. Yeah, I mean, you know, these people, you know, they go on tour, they play festivals and whatever, and then they go home and they're carpenters or like, you know, plumbers or, you know.
Depends,
like
man.
White collar workers, you know.
Depends, because probably, yeah, Crypto get a huge start because Fernanda and Tawuna came from their band, Nervosa. And you remember Nervosa, they were huge before, like, in a, they are still huge, but I mean, they really start to came up around 2014, 15, and their huge start is thanks to Schmier, because Schmier give them a shout out or something like this. The same is with Burning Witches.
Oh, Burning Witches. That's been a while. Isn't that the all-female?
Yeah, yeah. It's same as Nervosa Crypto. And
are they from, like, Switzerland? Or
yeah.
What the fuck were they from? Okay, yeah.
And now...
Shit, my memory is good.
And nowadays, Cobra Spell is became a little bit... Not huge as Nervosa or Crypto, but they're... getting started, get a good start because Sonia Anubis, she was at Crypta and Burning Witches, so yeah.
What did you say? Sonia Anubis?
Yeah.
Anubis.
Yeah, like the Egyptian god.
The Egyptian god Anubis.
Yeah, exactly.
Really?
Yeah.
I was like, man, maybe I'm an asshole for calling you out for saying something wrong, but you were... Anubis, that's cool. What is Anubis? Wasn't it like the god
of death,
kingdom of the god of death? Yeah,
yeah,
that's cool. That was badass for a name,
right? So,
but I guess her real name isn't like Sonia Anubis,
probably. But yeah, you can. No, you can't because you're on the phone.
Well, here's the thing, though. I mean, my name isn't Thunderhead, you know.
Yeah, my is metal, not metal, really. Yeah. But better is called Sonia Anubis because her real name is like a five-page name. And Sonia Nuria Carolina Nesender Fontes de Albrondos or whatever. Sorry about butchering her name. So yeah, Sonia Anubis is shorter and better.
You know, I like stage names. I think that's like a lost art. And
yeah,
I think we should be getting back. That is why we do it, by the way, on this podcast, because, you know, I have an unintelligible fucking Swedish Bork Scandinavian last name, which no international audience will ever be able to replicate. So I go with Thunderhead because I like fucking lightning and thunder.
And my name as well is Bulgarian, and it's a little bit shitty to pronounce. So. It's bad with even in Bulgaria they mispronounce it, so
really,
yeah, and it, because it's not like Ivanov or whatever that is popular, and that's why I came with a metal, because I don't remember, it started like a nickname before, and someday when I get my Swiss citizenship, probably I'm going to change it officially to be Daru Metal.
Yeah, that's the thing. It costs a little sum. It's not a little sum, actually. I think you have to pay like around 1,000 Swedish kronas.
Yeah, 150 euro, something like this shit.
Oh, it's that much? Damn. Because I remember I wanted at one point to change my name because... I have, you know, three names. I am named in a very old school fashion, because you have a forename, then you have your proper name, and then you have your second name.
Because in Bulgaria it's your first name, then you have your father name, and then you have your family name.
Okay, yeah. Well, back in the old school Sweden, you had your first, like I said, your first name, then the name, the second name was, the name that you were, that you were known as.
Yeah.
By the way, the third name.
A question is, how the fuck we get from metal and whatever to naming ourselves?
I don't know. This is metal brain fart.
I was talking about Sonya movies.
I mean, I think it's fun to, stage names. Let's get back to that. I like stage names.
Yeah, Tom Angel Reaper. I don't remember.
Here's the weirdest one I have. John Petrucci, the guitar player from Dream Theater.
Mm-hmm.
It is, I think his real name is like John Boobity Bobby, something Italian, it's like kind of forgettable, but he went with like Petrucci for some reason, which is like another, Italian. I mean, it's sure, it is like, it sticks with you, Petrucci, I don't know. But his like regular name, it was like Calavara, or something like that. I don't know. But he decided to change it to Petrucci for some reason. It's like, sometimes it's weird why people change their name.
Well, man, there was a huge discussion about before a couple of years. I think before even I moved in Sweden, was like a Swedish couple named their daughter Metallica. and it's...
Really?
Yeah, and to be honest, I think I deliver to this person.
Man, I think that's kind of cringe to give like your children those kinds of names, really. I don't know if you were you like a Game of Thrones fan? I've never been, but
saw the first three season, actually.
Yeah.
It was
are you one of those guys like me that, if the third season, that is like the determining point of any series?
Dude, I don't have any recognition what happened in the fucking series. I need to watch it again.
Well, I'm never going... I've never been a fan, actually. People try to get me into Game of Thrones. They're like, hey, you're a metalhead, right? You like power metal and dragons and shit? Watch Game of Thrones. And I was like, man, this is just...
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think now they start like what was called a series about this, a show.
They made like a sort of a prequel show on HBO.
Yeah, something like this.
House of the Dragon, which is it is supposed to be good, but then again, it's like it is. When people say to me, watch House of the Dragon, it's good. It's sort of like a guy eating shit in front of me saying, try it, it's fucking good. It's like, nah, I'm fine, dude. Whatever floats your boat, man, if you like that shit. But okay, my point with bringing Game of Thrones into this was, a lot of people like the character of Khaleesi.
The Mother of the Dragons or whatever it was.
Yeah, the blonde chick, whatever. So people started naming her that. And apparently, I think in like one of the last seasons of the show, she became like Hitler, basically. So people who had named their newborns Khaleesi, I don't know if they like try to contact the government, like, okay, I want to legally change my toddler's name because I can't,
Yeah.
Can't handle that shit. I think that's kind of funny, but I mean, if you have kids, don't name them like fucking Ace or like shit like that, or like a rock star. I mean, name them something normal.
Yeah,
like
John,
Jeff,
like Lucifer, Lilith, something like this, normal.
Lucifer. That is a funny name. I mean, imagine getting like twins. You get like one of these, you know, what's it called when one is a girl and a boy, but they are twins, you know, born at the same time. They can go with like Lucifer and Lilith.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, Lilith, now that you mention it, that is a character in the Frasier series. Like his ex-wife, Frasier's ex-wife is called Lilith.
Okay, I think I never saw it, so...
But you have seen Shears, and Shears, Dr. Frasier was a character before he got his spin-off. I don't know.
I don't remember. Yeah. I think it was on season 3. I don't remember.
Of Shears?
Yeah.
I don't know how many fucking seasons they went with. I think they were...
10.
How many seasons was it of Cheers?
10. Yeah.
10. That is crazy. And then Frasier, I think, it was a spin-off of that show, and it went on for like...
Okay.
Around the same time, I think. It is a good show. You should check it out. I mean, I should watch it more as well.
Because I'm a fan of
fucking hell.
Man, it's like old school comedy with a language that nowadays is very hard to hear because everyone is offended.
Yeah, you know, the way of making jokes. That is going to be fun to see how you deal with the stand-up comedy bit because, you know, what can you joke about, you know?
Well,
it's always a problem.
When I say I'm doing that, I'm probably not going to post it on Facebook or... eventually, I'm going to post it on YouTube, but definitely not on Facebook because I don't want this prison, jail, whatever. Because it's not family-friendly, definitely. And
I don't really know what goes along with Facebook's guidelines anymore. I mean, I don't really care. You know, the only thing I use Facebook for is like...
I know you published something and after 2 days you're blocked because someone is offended even to don't have anything to do with these guys and whatever. I send you something, man. It's it's a part mail related, but it's not. I mean, the last one is a Bulgarian artist, a Bulgarian metal artist.
All right. So let's see here. What the fuck? What the fuck?
Do you know what? Let's
okay.
Let's get some break, man. And
Vin Diesel. Yeah, we can go for a break. We've been going for a while, so yeah.
We're going to cut to here, and you, dear listeners, go and listen to some music. I don't know still what you're going to listen, but you're going to hear something eventually. So stay tuned. Coming back. Yeah.
Okay, so, who the fuck is this guy?
The last one is the vocalist from the second one. After Vin Diesel, the first one is a Bulgarian actor. The second one, I don't have any fucking idea who is. And the third one is Funky from band Era and some other bands. And he was the first one who invited Sodom.
But the first guy, who is he like, has been acting in other stuff than Bulgarian movies? Or
I think a couple of secondary roles, you know, in some other movies, but I don't remember in which one.
And it's a problem, you know, with the bald head, you know, it's kind of hard to distinguish yourself in a way.
Yeah. Well, I think to smoke a cigarette, take a shit, and make a hot tea, not hot tea, hot chocolate, and coming soon.
What should we talk about? Metal, heavy metal.
Yeah, metal, metal. We're gonna see something.
Metal. That reminds me. It's not Blaze and Stone, but it was one of Cedric's other band, which he called Rockarolas, which are a hilarious fucking name, by the way. And their first album, The War of Steel Has Begun, has a song called Heavy Metal Kings, which is fucking hilarious. It's an excellent song, fucking awesome. But the chorus is fucking hilarious. It's like metal, heavy metal kings. You know.
Okay.
Using metal, I think he's like singing like metal like 15 times in that song. Or yeah. More. I don't know.
Almost like Sex and Violence by Exploit.
Man, you're really into the hardcore stuff. I notice.
I listen. Huh?
Have you had that period? Yeah. Had a period of hardcore music?
Before a couple of months, not now. But yeah, well, you can start, man.
Yeah, okay. I'm just talking shit, like, you know, because when I'm editing this later, I'm just gonna, you know, crossfade into. Because we don't really have a subject, but okay, let's have a subject. What should we talk about? Because I think we can leave like this name shit behind. We can talk about something else, but
I don't know what. It's nothing special happened. This Nazareth guy, he passed.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Like who? Which one?
I think the guitarist. I don't remember.
Oh really? I mean, Nazareth is kind of a. The only thing I have on them is my dad had like the Razamanaz album on vinyl, which my dad would occasionally play.
I think Dan McCovney or who else?
They were a weird band.
I don't know, man. I mean, I know like one or two songs, that's it.
I mean, the thing they're most famous for is that awful fucking ballad, Love Hurts. That is Nazareth's contribution to the world music scene. And here's the thing. I fucking hate ballads. Ballads are shit.
Yeah, Dan McCafferty.
Metal band shouldn't do it.
Dan McCafferty or whatever. The vocalist.
Oh, it was the vocalist.
Yeah.
That's tragic.
Well...
But it still doesn't excuse shitty ballads.
Yeah. You
know, ballads suck ass, I think.
Well, you hate ballads, I hate fucking new shredding shit, you know. 10 minutes of souls, for example.
Yeah, I don't like that either. I mean, that's the thing that people get me shit for. Like, you like progressive rock. You basically like to listen to a guy shred all the time. It's like, motherfucker, have you even listened to Genesis? Like, come on, dude.
Yeah.
Speaking about Genesis, I listened to their worst album the other month while on work.
I don't know them so well, so I cannot say anything. I'm going to
tell you, though, because I'm going to... make this show fucking awful for our listeners, and I'm going to tell you that their last album they did was called Calling All Stations, and the thing was Phil Collins had left the band a year before they started to record an album, you know. And they basically hired like a Scottish indie singer like called Ray Wilson. He is a great guy. I mean, he has a great voice, and the stuff that he's done on his own is good, but you know, it was such a weird thing, you know, replacing Phil Collins with an alternative rock guy. It's like, all right,
yeah.
And but they said like, okay, let's try this shit, let's experiment, let's see if it works, and if it doesn't work, we'll quit the shit. And they released the album, they toured the world, and in 1997, and then the band was over basically after.
Because I think now to listen to worst destruction album. That is called.
Which one is that?
The last successful Human Bow. Human Cannonball.
The least successful Human Cannonball. Is it called that?
Yeah.
Man, that is a plunky title, I might say.
That's their worst album that is called.
But why? But why?
I don't know.
Why is it?
I don't know. Everyone
here. Sorry, I interrupted you. But the thing is, why is it bad? Are they trying to do something experimental?
Idea, man. Never hear them. I'm going to listen now when I'm start to clean for a half hour, something like this, on the way.
Okay, so you say it's the worst album they've done, but you haven't heard.
Yeah, because everyone say that. Everyone hate that.
But
it's like you have 13% on Metal Archives.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm intrigued. Here's the thing. I really like it to, you know, see what, you know, fans think, you know, the worst album of any band. I always think that's interesting to listen.
Hey, let's do that as a topic, man.
Yeah, sure. I'm game. You know, I have a lot of examples, like... I've been on this track a lot, like
okay.
Running Wild, for instance.
Let's start this.
Yeah,
all right.
That's a topic.
You can start the second.
Well, I would say like Running Wild is probably one of the most hated albums.
Dude just said, "Hey, we are back," blah blah blah, and we can go.
Do I have to?
Yeah, why not?
And we're back again, and we're going to talk about something which we decided upon during the break, which would be
basically
the subject. And
basically a minute ago.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about like the shittiest albums from bands. I mean, it's not like our personal opinions here. We're talking about like. Albums that are commonly known as awful by the fan base or critics or whatever.
Yeah, because I don't know if we've done it before. I think we have something worst songs by a band or something like this. But however, I was explaining to Brur that I was thinking now between... when I finish with the recording and before I go to the club, I have like half hour time or whatever to listen to Destruction, the last successful Human Cannonball, and that's basically 13% on Metal Archives, and everyone hate this album. And to be honest, I think I never listened to, or if I listened. Probably was once way back in the days. So
I mean, I guess you used to do like I did, like download the entire discography of a band, go through it, and then you know.
Yeah.
I don't listen to music that way anymore. But before I used to do that. I listened to like a band and then went through all the albums, you know, in order.
Yeah, but also I don't remember if we spoke on the show or if was in the when I call you before we came up on the show, like before start the recording. We are also don't try to discard the new music. If they came, otherwise we are in our comfy zone and trying to probably listen to a B-sides or deep cuts or whatever. And because this album is not so popular, or if it's popular, it's because of the hate that the fans have in this period.
I actually managed to start my laptop here, and because I was curious when you said this was like the most hated. So I'm here on Metal Archives, and I see the least successful Human Cannonball, and the cover is... It looks like a cover for something that like Smashing Pumpkins or
yeah, even the logo, man,
would do.
Even the logo is like regularly war type. It's not their official logo.
Yeah, it looks like something Blur would put out. Like, it's what the fuck? Mm-mm. And okay, who's the? I don't know these people.
It's either. Not just Mike, the guitarist. It's the other one. It's some other guys that I don't have any idea. It's not Schmier anyway.
Okay, I found a review here on the Metal Archives, and it begins like this. This is quite literally the saddest moment in metal history, at least for me. I, as a die-hard Destruction fan, for some reason never chose to listen to this record before. I knew about its existence. I had the time to listen to it, yet somehow I never made that decision. Perhaps through some subconscious power, I felt that I probably shouldn't. However, this is one of my absolute favorite thrash metal bands, so I had to listen to it at least one time to complete the puzzle. No German thrash metal bands had this huge of a fall from grace as Destruction did. The counterparts weren't doing well either, but no German thrashers went down the drain this deeply. I mean, holy shit, it sounds like they... what the fuck's going on?
And you know, I love Destruction, man, so... And like I said, I don't know even why I didn't listen before, probably the same reason as this guy.
Yeah, this guy has sort of the same, you know, he's like, oh, I love Destruction, but I haven't really listened to it. But when I did, I was, this guy, he gave like a 10%.
Yeah. But in average, it's like 13%. The other one is a Destruction EP from that sort of full cover. From 94. And this one as well, I didn't listen to. The second worst.
Yeah, it came... It seems like the 90s were pretty shitty for... for Destruction.
Well, not only Destruction, everyone going oblivion in that point. Overkill, Sodom Day release, Destruction release, but they weren't so popular because, you know, back in the 90s, new metal came and
thrash metal overall is that, you know, it was basically, they only had like the late 80s.
Late.
Well, the 90s was shit for everyone. I remember even though I don't think this is a particularly good band, like Testament did a lot of like shitty music as well during the 90s. I think.
I don't remember the 90s what they released.
Nah, they just released shit. That was,
Well, for you, everything is shit, man. I mean, I know you are a hater, so... Whoa, is a fucking amazing album.
Souls of Black, The Ritual, Low, and Demonic. The Gathering.
Souls of Black, Whoa, Demonic, awesome albums. They're awesome, but they weren't, under that every metal band get fucked because of grunge, and after the grunge came this rap metal, new metal, and all that bullshit.
I mean, I don't know what it is, but thrash metal, when the 90s came, they turned to shit. I don't know what their idea about making music was, but, you know, that is the reason why I hate thrash metal, is because, you know, when the 90s came, they just turned to... I mean, you could do like Metallica, go commercial, do the Megadeth route, which was also commercial.
Became those bands...
I mean, they actually made good music, but, you know, the other smaller bands.
But the thing is, now Metallica, Megadeth, they tried to came back to their roots, but they couldn't do it successfully. Because I listened to a couple of the new Megadeth stuff. The last one that I enjoyed was American Abomination. The last... album that they released was quite okay, but that's it. Not something to be excited for. And the smaller band like Overkill that they that was continuously releasing albums during the 90s till nowadays. They are still overkill, man. They didn't change so much Slayer, even if they released like this album with a punk cover, because Jeff Hanneman was a punk fan, and Diabolus Music, I think, was the other one that sucks. But
I wonder if Overkill has like one of those albums which people hate.
Probably everyone, every band have.
They had a fucking awful period where they did some groovy ass shit though. Can't forget about that.
Yeah, but
no, Pantera became great. Big, so everyone was trying to do that shit.
Oh, fuck, man. In Sweden, we have Bent Overkill.
Overkill has a fairly persistent... They don't have, like, an awful, weird train record album, really.
Probably... what was called? They don't have fucked up records, but for example, Creator, one of the most hated is Endorama and Renew.
But isn't that the album that you defended a couple of episodes ago that you like Endorama?
Yeah,
I say
they're hated by the people, not by me. That's my fucking favorite albums, to be honest.
I mean, that is funny as well, you know, albums that, you know, everyone else hates, but you like.
Yeah.
That is the case for me with Halloween's Chameleon. Everyone fucking hates that album. And you know what? I fucking understand why. Because it's not a power metal album at all. It's not even a fucking metal album.
It's a rock album, right? I think I listened once or twice, but you know me, I'm not a Halloween fan. I like a couple of songs, but that's it.
Do you know that album? It's sort of like a late era Phil Collins Genesis, basically. I mean, it's basically like We Can't Dance, but made by Halloween. It's such a weird fucking album. I mean, but the songs are good, and one of the singles from that song, like Windmill, which is basically like a fucking nursery rhyme, sort of a, like something you would sing to like a toddler to go to sleep, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, I love that song. I think it's so fucking beautiful and nice. But the thing is this what you want from this band?
Well, you don't want.
Is this what you?
You don't.
Do you want a lullaby? Do you want a lullaby from a cool power metal band?
You don't want a Mama Set or Nothing Else Matters from Metallica, but here you are. And actually, I like the songs.
Oh, Mama Set! Isn't that from fucking Load, man?
Yeah. Sitting on the back of the some old school car and with a acoustic guitar, you know.
Man, I remember back to when we did a Metallica retrospective, because we basically talked 80% of the time we talked about the good shit, and then like towards the end of the episode we basically just mentioned it. but I remember actually trying to listen to their later shit. And I listen to Load and Reload, and it's like, you know, the music in and of itself, you know, it's not bad for, you know, the era which it was released, you know, mid-90s.
Yeah, I even said, I think the both will agree, the music is good, but not for this name.
Yeah, and we're back on that shit, you know, that I mentioned with Halloween. Is this what you want from this kind of band? Is this really, really what you want to hear? No, it isn't. But, you know, Metallica, you know, they were so fucking burnt out from this, you know, the Black Album tour, that, I mean, it is crazy. Load and Reload are fucking insane albums when you think about them, you know.
Yeah, but, you know, man, also... They need to pay a bills, and like we said earlier, if you are playing in a trash
man. No. That is fucking bullshit. I must call that out. They weren't paying the bills with these albums. These albums were fucking flops, dude.
Well,
they only sold because they were a famous band.
Yeah, but they pay their bills for the tour with this money, you know, at the time. Because Uncle Wars back in those time, I don't know for now, he was like way up in the nose. And
but the thing is, I'm having a hard time seeing that like Ain't My Bitch was like a hard selling single. I don't know.
Nah.
I think, you know, here's the thing. Here's my theory about, you know, the Load and Reload shit is that they were basically so big that they could do whatever the fuck they felt like.
Yep. Exactly.
They were like, okay, we're on the top of the fucking world and we're going to produce a new album. And it's like, okay, is it going to be like a continuation on the style that we made on the Black album, or are we gonna like, you know, do something interesting? And they were like, no, fuck it, let's just take it easy and play some country inspired whatever the fuck,
like Mao said. Yeah, because for example, other bands in this genre, Sodom, they don't have a worst review. I mean, their worst is like 25%, something like this. And it's for compilation. It's not for a full-length album.
And why do people hate compilations so much? I don't get it.
I don't know, man.
It's just a compilation. Take it easy.
I get both of the points. One is the good one. It's like a gate opener for the band because there is officially the best tracks, but the people who already have all the albums to those days, they don't want a compilation or to spend money for compilation, but they want to complete their collections or something like this. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I guess that is the thing.
And also, sometimes, you know, in the compilation, everyone have a different taste and different favorite songs. And like I said, the official best song, but is that your favorite songs? Probably it's the songs that you hate the most, and that's why.
No, it's sort of like those Iron Maiden compilations, which I think they tend to do a good job on, but they usually just go for like the most recognizable songs or whatever.
Yeah, because I mean, for example, if I get a compilation of songs from Iron Maiden, like you said, if it's Fear of the Dark, The Number of the Beast, Running Free, The Evil That Men Do, those songs I listen a million times, I don't want to listen anymore.
I mean, if you really want to do like a greatest hits, I mean, fucking put Summer in Time or like Still Life, or I mean, fuck, Where Eagles Dare, or
Deja Vu,
Power Slave. Goddamn, there are so many good fucking songs to go from. You know, I get what you mean. You know, and that's, I think like greatest hits albums, they're sort of like a scam in a way, because they're just putting,
for me it's not a scamming, for me it's a gate opener, because I remember
that is true.
I start to listen Overkill thanks to, it's not, I gonna say it's not compilation, I know it's official full-length album, but it's a cover album from different bands, and it was their cover kill from 99, I think.
You're talking about Overkill.
Yeah. And yeah, it, like I said, it's a full length, but it's again a compilation from different bands that they make a covers. Yeah, actually, it is a compilation on the Metal Archives. I see it. So
is it like other bands doing covers of Overkill songs?
No, Overkill make cover of other bands like Overkill from Motorhead, No Feeling, Sex Pistols, Hymn 43, Jethro Tull, Changes from Black Sabbath, Space Trucking from Deep Purple, Deuce from Kiss, Never Say Die, Black Sabbath, that tune, Manowar.
These kinds of albums, I must say, I'm sorry that I'm interrupting you, but I'm going to need to say that, like, cover albums also get a lot of shit. Undeservedly,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, because there is other good thing. What is that song, Overkill, that I listen? Death Trucking. Who is the original man? Deep Purple. And from there, Deep Purple, Space Trucking, okay. Let's see, what's other songs? Highway Star. Okay. Some are. So I don't see why. Yeah, I get why you release a car songs when I can listen to the original one. Okay, fuck off.
Did they do any Iron Maiden covers?
No, but they done Manowar.
Battle Hymn.
No, that tune.
No.
Judas Priest, Tyrant they done, and I'm Against It, Ramones.
Oh, that's cool. I mean, Overkill is a kind of an interesting band because... in a way, you know what? Overkill, it feels like a band that was like founded by my dad in a way. Because he like, my dad is a fan of heavy metal and punk.
Yeah.
Equally. So
actually, you know, funny. You know, they started as a punk band.
Yeah, so they say, but...
Virgin Cure.
Oh, yeah.
Actually...
The Lubricants.
Yeah, as well. Exactly. And speaking about Overkill, probably we said way back in the first couple of episodes, I don't remember in which one was, we done heavy metal documentary movies. And one of the movies that I said it's really good is about early years of Overkill, that is Born in a Basement.
That is an excellent fucking documentary. It's fucking awesome. And yeah, if anyone, you know, I just like documentaries overall. I think documentaries about anything can be good if they're done well. And this is one of those documentaries that is done in such a very good way. And I mean, it focuses on Rat Skates a lot.
Yeah, because he's the founder of the band. That's why. And this movie, actually, he is... the producer of this movie.
And it's kind of sad that, you know, when you see that movie and all the time and effort he put down into the band, that he left that band. It's kind of sad, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't remember, what was the reason behind him leaving?
Well,
was
it... family, kids, and he was like tired of being... everything, manager, merchandise, and whatever. So that's what was one of the reasons.
He basically burned out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And that is tragic because he, when you see that documentary, he really like fucking pours his heart and soul into everything.
Yeah.
That he did. And a cool thing, speaking about covers and that shit, they mentioned in the documentary that they. One of their like sort of things that would draw people in to see their shows was that they played some Maiden covers.
Yeah.
And I think Phantom of the Opera was one of those songs.
I don't remember, man. It's been a while since I saw this for the last, I think, around 2 years ago.
But they were basically like, Overkill was basically in the, you know, beginnings, as I remember the documentary at least. They were basically just playing Maiden covers. And then occasionally they would.
Yeah,
like,
when,
their...
since they're forming in the 80s, 1980.
It is kind of interesting though, because I think the Overkill logo, you know, the sort of type of text, you know,
yeah,
their logo, it's very similar to the Maiden logo, you know, in a way.
Yeah, especially, but they even said I borrowed the O from Iron Maiden.
Yeah, he actually mentioned that. He says that, okay, he borrowed the O from Iron Maiden and then he basically made his own thing.
Yeah.
Rat Skates, I mean, he was like the father of that fucking band, basically.
Yeah, man. He was, because like I said, he was the former one.
But here's the interesting thing about that documentary, though, which, I mean, this might be some drama, controversy shit or whatever from my part, but, you know, they never interview D.D. Verney or Bobby Blitz.
No, because
they never talked to them.
Because that was basically about the story behind Ratsgate.
Yeah, well, I get that, but they talked to like the first guitarist that they had, which
I don't remember what was the deal.
I mean, I wonder if it's just like you said that Ratsgate, he produced this documentary, yep, right? And I don't know their relation or whatsoever, but basically, you know, the band is managed today by D.D. and Bobby. They are like, well, they're original members and main songwriters or whatever. So I'm thinking, like, you know, when this documentary was made, they probably were like approached like, hey, do you want to, you know, because why not be in an interview about your own fucking band?
Yeah. And it's not like even see, man, even on what was called the documentary about Metallica, that some kind of monster, they even interviewed Dave Mustaine. That is not in the band, I mean, from the beginning, basically.
They had like this awful therapy session with Dave Mustaine, which is unfortunately put Dave Mustaine in a very bad light, I would say.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, man. We can continue to speak with this for ages, but I think it's time to wrap this episode up. And get the fuck out of here, because I have some stuff to do.
Yeah.
So, it was really nice again to be behind the mic, to speak with you, and also to get our listeners bored so they can sleep better. And if you like that shit, man, please tell to your friends to subscribe, listen to that shit, like and whatever, at www.facebook.com/metalbrainfartpodcast. It's gonna pop up anyway. There is a link tree. Also, if you want us to fill up our mail collection with the CDs that are missing, you can donate some money at Patreon. I think the link is also at this link tree that is in our Facebook page. So, yeah, from me, that's all, man. You have some final words?
Nah, usually I have nothing to add. But I'm going to say that, you know, take care of yourselves. You know, make yourself the best human being you can be for the next day or whatever. I don't know.
Make metal great again.
Make metal great again, people.
Speaking of just for our listeners in Germany or the people that listen to classic speed metal, and they're in Germany around 28th of January. Mad Butcher going to have again a live show at Oberhausen. So check it out. That's a band you want to see, definitely. Until next time, stay tuned or be doomed.